We're going to start this morning, if I turn my lesson book around. We're not in Hebrews. to the Church of Ephesians, and we have finished up looking at the Lord's letter to them, and we had just gotten into the Ephesians church and looking at you and me in light of the things that were there, how we can learn about the praise that Jesus had for that church, and to look into ourselves and to see if He were to write us a letter, would He praise us for the same things? And depending on what our hearts would convict us in that if we had left something that we once did that was in great service to Him, that was praiseworthy, then would He write us and say that we needed to repent of that also? Remember, Ephesians church was a very busy church. They were loyal in doctrine. They stood firm in the faith, even amidst much opposition. They had much adultery there. When Paul went through for the first time in Acts 8:19, he even called that there were wild beasts there that he had to contend with. I mean, they were devouring, they were vicious, and they were, of course, against the gospel of Jesus Christ. And loyal to their idolatry, for the most part, even to the idol makers that were there, because they knew that maybe some of the teachings of the Christianity against the idolaters and this one true God would cost them money. And there were false teachers invading, even claiming to be apostles. And so this Ephesian church was fervent in looking at the teaching and proving it, and when they proved it to be false, they would not tolerate it. And they persevered, and they endured, and did not grow weary, even amongst all this. And so, we looked at ourselves today, and we do have idolatry. It may not be in the form of a temple to Diana. It may not be in the form of the other gods. It may not be in the form of a Roman emperor who has set himself as God, as later in the Roman emperors did. And we do have immorality and deeds of the flesh. We don't have temple worship as they did maybe with the immorality and things that was surrounding them. But we do have on a daily basis a problem with that. And we do have the danger of false teaching, even coming into not just from the outside of the Lord's church, but as Paul warned the Ephesian elders, even amongst them, false teaching would arise, and that they would draw men away with them. And so, in some areas of our lives, we don't have Roman emperors, but we do have oppression in our social and government world if we try to, for instance, raise our children or teach our children certain, and even discipline our children. It's getting more and more difficult for parents to do that without fear of some kind of reprisal. We started to look at, then we come to number two. And I apologize if some of the question and the wording of it is not clear. I know it's in my brain, but sometimes I have a hard time putting it out to where you all can maybe benefit from it the most. What I meant to say was to maintain sound doctrine. To it takes maintaining sound doctrine, even for these Ephesian people, okay? It takes hating error. It takes loving truth above all else. And it takes Bible study. It takes prayer. It takes vigilant and diligent elders. And it takes a congregation who is striving together for the purpose of sound doctrine and loving one another, edifying one another, building one another up, and being the holy people that Christ would want. And so, at Humble here, as a congregation, what areas do you feel that we are strong in, that we strive after in these matters? What did you put down, for instance? Did you think of something in the areas that like the Ephesian church, that you might feel that we at Humble, as a congregation, as a whole, try to excel in and try to work diligently at?
Sound doctrine.
Okay, that was my first thing. Are we interested in and diligent in examining things taught to see if they're doctrinally pure? Steve often says from the pulpit, you know, even he's a wonderful Bible student and is a staunch proponent of sound doctrine. He wants us to examine the things that he says. He wants us to open our Bibles. But as a church as a whole, you know, I do feel that it is a priority for us as Christians working here together to hold to sound doctrine. And the next thing is the eldership. Are our elders shepherding the church? Are they leading us in a way to promote sound doctrine? And I think that is true. What else did you all put down?
Well, I think probably, you know, our contributions that help spread the sound doctrine to other parts of the world.
And don't you find that even in our sending monies to other preachers, that the elders and some of even the men have traveled to see if even what the work is being done with our money that we are sending to them, that they are being sound in doctrine and you know, using our money to glorify God and not to take on false doctrine. What else?
I think some of the snooks here, something that Jerry and I have really felt is the encouragement of us being a family. And that always tends toward being, you know, closer to some, you know, closer to each other so that we can correct each other if we fall. Just that idea of knowing we can rely on each other and trust each other to help us go to heaven when we die. And that's been very evident to us that this is a family.
And that's right. And in that area, do we encourage Steve? Do we encourage what is preached from the pulpit and encourage, you know, him? Because sometimes you have to be bold. Sometimes you have to teach things that are not popular, that rebuke and that reprove. And do we encourage those who stand firm and teach that? Our elders, do we encourage them to continue, you know, and especially in the face of difficulties that arise? We have on an occasion at this church had false teaching to try to creep in. And our immorality that comes among, and that they, the elders and the whole congregation has to address that. And do we hold up the hands, and do we encourage, and do we not grow weary or allow them to grow weary thinking that their battle is alone? And so they need that. And the classroom teachers, in their striving to make lessons and to teach the children or even the adults and everything, do we encourage by our presence? Do we encourage by our Bible study? Do we encourage by words that would encourage them to keep on, you know, striving to teach the right way? Or to maybe a person who's doing it for the first time, to encourage them as they struggle sometime, you know, and to build them up, not with flattery or those kinds of things, but to encourage them on to growth and maturity, even to one another, encouraging one another, especially when we see that they are having dealing with problems, and so that they wouldn't grow weary. For instance, Arthur, in his dealing with his brother, and in praying for him and in giving him encouraging words, even seeing if there's anything that we can do to lighten his load, or those others that are here. And so, you know, that's part of what we learned, especially in Lauren's classes on the one another, what we can do for one another. Do we, as a church, love one another and seek the good of every member? And so, and do we persevere in these things? Anything else that anybody would think of or that is an encouragement to them is being a part of the church here in Humble as a whole.
Along with what you were saying, I have that many people are starting to work. Some things you hear about, some things you don't.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And when tough times have come here to the church, and problems have arose, and I was so encouraged that through one of the ordeals, even the young people did not grow weary or did not get discouraged by the admonition to face the error, to deal with the error, and to search the scriptures themselves. And so as a whole, not to let down, not to grow weary and give up sometimes. And so to press on, to test the things in our worship together. Is it conducive to glorifying Christ and edifying one another? I have been in places of worship among the Lord's people where there wasn't very much edifying going on. And there wasn't very much, thus saith the Lord, happening. And that's a sad thing among God's people and among the church that is supposed to be the pillar and ground of truth and for the edifying and the building up of each other in truth and everything to be to the glory of God. And we see a lot of other things, but one of the things that I did think that encourages me about the church here is, as a whole and as our goal, as our striving together, we want to glorify Christ in our worship. We want to seek truth. We want to edify one another in our worship. Any comments on that? And of course, I wrote down, a love for one another. When we came here, we immediately were embraced, people caring about us, people wanting to know about us, seeking our spiritual well-being, and, you know, as a whole, I feel the church. Now, you know, that the Lord looks at each individual, but as a whole, you know, I feel that we, as a congregation, now, we don't want that to slip, we don't want to neglect that, it can be easily done. Do we care about the lost outside the confines of these walls here? You know, what are we doing as the congregation striving together to reach the lost? You know, it becomes not only a together thing, like in gospel meetings, but it becomes an individual thing, of course, as we deal with the people outside in our everyday lives. But as a whole, in our contributions, we're sending to places of the world, to men who are trying to reach the lost, and those things. Any comments about that, or any additions? So, Galatians 5:6, Paul talks to the Christians there, faith working through love. And this congregation, in my judgment, is a congregation of people with faith, interested in truth, working in love. Now, any other comments about that? Yes, Esther. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to read a few passages here, and I'll try to be very clear when we start reading the passages. We're just going through our lesson, the questions that I had asked, but if you have any question, you're free to ask, please. Everyone has be free to ask a question if you do not understand what's being said, or that if you disagree, or if you would like clarity. This is why we're here, to study God's Word and to help one another grow. Now, number 3, since Jesus judges each member on our own merit, what do you or I personally do? You know, some of these things that we were talking about. What do I personally do to help me to be and to maintain faithfulness, to help the church here to be a congregation that Christ, that shines as a light for Christ, and that that glorifies Him, and that would not take away from His name? What would I do? What do I do personally? Or what do I fail personally to do in these things? And what did someone put?
Study and prayer.
Okay. Number one, evidently on Pat's list, number one on my list, do I study my Bible daily? Do I examine? Do I meditate on it? Do I apply it? Okay. And my number 2 was, do I pray daily? Pray number 1. In thanksgiving and praise God for my blessing. Do I thank Him every day for all the things He's done, especially the blessings in Christ Jesus? Do I tune my heart into that? Do I pray daily for others? Do I pray daily that my life today will glorify Christ and not the opposite? Any thoughts about that? Do I look for ways to serve my brethren every day? I fail in that. Do I make a call? Just one call, you know. Do I email someone? And in my prayer, do I send a card? Do I maybe think about ways that they may, that what I could do to help in their need. That's what I can do personally that I need to be diligent at, not grow weary at, seeking to do that. Does anyone have anything else before I go on down my list? I don't want to. Well, who else? What? What other things do you think that you could do personally that helps this group as a whole grow and be the Lord's church that He would like?
Attend all the services.
Attend. Good, Sheila. Attend services. And come prepared, you know? Participate. That was one of mine. And in participating in worship, do I do it to the best of my ability? Do I do it with the right kind of heart? Or am I just going through the motions? My person next to me on the pew may not know my heart, but you know, we're talking about the Lord with those piercing, fiery eyes. He sees, He knows, He's right there with you, and He sees that. So, do I participate in worship, number one? And when I do, is it to glorify God? Is it to just, you know, participate, just for participating's sake, or so that someone won't notice that I'm not participating, you know, that kind of thing. Do I volunteer in some of the work that the elders have set aside as a work that would edify and build, you know? Everyone, because of circumstances, cannot belong to a home Bible study, or everyone cannot do the work day when we have it, but everyone cannot teach a class, everyone cannot, you know, do some of the work that the and the people and the elders here have set aside as part of the work of this congregation. But do we participate and encourage in those things and encourage the others that can do that. Do I examine myself and correct and try to do better? Sometimes I fall into a period of just, you know, being comfortable. And I sort of get lax in that, and you get sort of blinded, or you get sidetracked with things going on, and you know, some of these things sort of slide. We all fail. Sometimes we come and we're not feeling well. Sometimes we come and there is something really heavy on our heart, and it's very hard to set that aside. And so that's why we need constant prayer and faith in that if we try to get our heart back on track, if we try to get our actions back on track, that He forgives us. You know, we're not going to be perfect in these things. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need constant examination and edifying one another to do that, you know. And to know our brethren, if you don't know that they're struggling with something and you see them being less than what they might have been earlier, how are you going to encourage them? So do I ever, and this is one that I fall into also, do I ever give up my time or my money or my home or my comfort zone for the service to another? Do I grow weary? We all do that. But do we allow it to take over our lives? Do we allow it to continue? And are we trying not to become mechanical in the things that we do, but that we do it out of love of Christ and His people and love of truth? Any other things that people put down that you might yourself need to work on or to do yourself to make humble the kind of church and striving together here? Anyone else have a thought? Okay. Number four. And this is one of those that I did not do right. If for us, leaving my love means motivation for serving Christ and devotion to Christ, what are some of the questions we might ask ourselves in examining ourselves? For instance, if we need to go back to where we were, our first love, I sometimes forget how zealous I was when I first became a Christian. Why did I become a Christian? What was my motivation? What was my devotion to and praise to on learning the truth and deciding to follow Jesus? And, you know, sometimes if you go back and you examine that, maybe it's a jump start, and we go back and reading Ephesians 1, all the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. Sometimes I need to go and read that and to restart and to rethink, you know, the praise and the glory that He's due because look what He did for me. And not let that just become ho-hum, or not let that just become a little bit less important than what it really should be. So is my attitude, you know, the same towards truth and towards Christ and towards even the lost? I was working at Colgate, and I mean the first gospel meeting, and I was, you know, later I was inviting people all the time, and I was talking to my friends at school about Jesus and, you know, those kinds of things. And so, you know, to think back, and what were those things that I did because of my new great love and appreciation for what Christ did for me? Why did I go to Bible study? Why did we come to church? Out of habit? Because somebody might get on our case if we don't show up? Love of truth? Or love of God? Okay. What did somebody else put maybe as a, what they do to help them to, yeah, you know, we've talked about Bible study. We've talked about those things. To get as a jump start. Questions you might ask yourself? Sometimes in my prayers, I have to kick myself. You know, don't let my mind wander. My praying today, is it rote? Am I listening? Am I saying the amen so that I could say the amen? Or am I thinking, you know, am I really into what the person leading the prayer is saying? Am I into even some of the things at home if Wally and I are praying together? Were they all self-serving? Or were they filled with praise? Sometimes I have to jumpstart myself. I have to give myself a little jolt. And when I sing, do I pay attention to the words that I'm saying and do I mean them? Or is it just we're singing a song and, you know, we know it by heart and we just singing around, you know, we sing it. Me, you know, what's going through my heart? What's going through my mind? Am I praising? Am I meaning it? Any questions that? I know it was a badly written question, and but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at what I'm doing in my worship. Each individual, the Lord judges in that. Any other comments on that ill-fated question? Ill-written question. Okay. If we find that we are amiss in something, even as a whole church, but individually, you and I, if we don't repent, what's going to be our end?
Chapter 2, verse 7 says, those who do that will be granted to eat of the tree of life. I will not be granted to eat of the tree of life. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. When Christ speaks to the churches, he tells the problems within the church, and evidently, the whole of the Ephesian church, because he didn't say, but some of you, like he does in one of the churches, did not leave their first love, whatever that was. They all knew what that was, even though they were diligent in staying as a church for strong doctrine amidst all that era and all that persecution, and did not grow weary, whatever that was. But he will judge each. He'll give each of us, like Pat read that. Let's turn to John 10, 27 and 28. John 10. Jesus is speaking. Lauren, would you read, please, John 10, 27 through 28, and see how Jesus feels about this.
Go ahead. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand.
Okay. We claim to be followers of Christ. We are his sheep. He is our shepherd. But in all of his, from our Bible study, and in learning what he wants his people to be, and saying repent of those things that you fall short in, if we do not listen to Jesus' voice, then we won't, you know, as Pat read over there in Revelation, that we won't have eternal life with him. And what happens is that they shall never perish. We will perish if we don't listen to Christ and his voice. And you know what Jesus promises there? Nobody can snatch them out of my hands. Here are these Christians over there. We're being persecuted. We can be persecuted. We can be ostracized. We can fall into areas where we might want to grow weary and not stand. But no one, even unto death, Christ writes in Revelation, be faithful. Even unto dying for the faith. But no one can snatch you out of his hand. And in 2 Corinthians 13, Paul is writing to the Corinthians, but as in all the churches, he wrote this and everything. But I like the way of what he said here. So many other places talks about this. In 2 Corinthians 13, 5, he says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? So, Christ through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit through Paul here, warning Christians that we need to always re-examine, test ourselves, open the book, pray about it, and so that we don't fail the test. And lose eternal life with Christ. And number six is another badly stated question. But if a whole church fails to hear the words of Christ, fails to stand for truth, fails to love one another, fails to check sin. The devil's sword for the Lord's people is unchecked sin in Christians' lives, unchecked error in doctrine, and waning love for one another. That's how he gets us. And if a whole church falls into these traps, in your experience, if you all noticed around or been where some of this is happening, what did you see? What happened?
Turmoil.
Turmoil. Very good word, turmoil. What else? Biting into the bar and what another Paul put it, you know, yes? What else? What else do you see? You don't see truth being preached there much anymore, do you?
You don't see love for one another.
You don't see love for one another, and that leads to turmoil. That leads to much strife. Paul's letters are full of loving one another and not, you know, striving. And the Corinthians, man, they were boastful and they had their spiritual gifts and they wanted to, you know, be the person that showed what their spiritual gifts can do and not in love for the others, not for edification. And it begins to crumble from the inside. I've actually been a part of a church who closed their doors. There was immorality and sin. There was error creeping in from the pulpit and beyond. The elders were not reproving, rebuking. The church as a whole did not deal with the sins that was there. And there got to be, it was just lethargic. No one was doing anything. And there in Baton Rouge, a church closed its doors. And it was probably for the best because Molly and I left and we were very young. We were very young with one child and I was pregnant with Christina. We went to another congregation where we could work with saints who were striving to have sound doctrine, striving to love one another, striving to grow. This place did not have elders yet because they were not mature in the faith yet as to have people qualified. But they were growing. They were striving. They were trying to build themselves up. And so we grew and they grew as a group together, trying to do what the Lord would have them to be as a church of His people together. The loss of that, okay. The loss of that was going to be, and in as far as the community was concerned, that church was no longer being a light for Christ way before that. Evidently, you know, if I understand Christ removing the lampstands of churches, pulls His fellowship away. They're no longer His people. They're no longer lights for Him. They're no longer following His lead. He is no longer their Lord. He is no longer their King. And what a shame if for one generation, two generations, a church has stood in a community, pillar and ground of the truth, loving one another, fighting error, growing. Another generation comes along, just like the Israelites. He did not, does not know God quite the same way, doesn't have the same fervor, doesn't have the same resolve. The third generation comes along and they're gone. And the church in that community is no longer the same as it was. And that can happen to God's people, if we're not one each other, striving together for truth, for love for one another. Any comments? I had a reading, Lord willing, next Wednesday we will begin with Hebrews 10, 22 through 39. That is the reading, Lord willing, if we can start. That is just a reading after number 7, and we'll finish with Ephesians 6 on your last lesson. Yeah, Hebrews 10, 22 through, I think I have 39. Let me make sure that I didn't miss put it down. I would not want to. 39, if we do not lose heart. Okay. If we don't shrink back, excuse me. So we will read that reading, Lord willing. And begin our next lesson. And thank you so much. So glad to see everyone. Is there any notes, I mean, about people, the prayers, you know, that we need to mention?
Deanna was sick yesterday. I didn't talk to her this morning. She had planned to be here if she was well, but she was sick yesterday.
Okay.
She was there and I guess she was.
Who did?
Amanda.
Okay.
Had cataract surgery at
9:30. Who did?
Ennis.
Ennis. Oh, another this. Yeah. Okay. I did not realize we've been out of town and sort of out of sorts. You know about what's going on. So good to see our sister Nonia here today with us. I was so glad to see her when I got here, I can't wait to catch up with her and see. I know y'all probably read the emails about Keith. It is still up in the air. They have not determined now, since they determined his results back from his test come back that he does not have cancer of the spine, but something something is causing it to deteriorate. Something is causing all these other, you know, problems that he's having. And so they have sent all of his tests and all of his, things to the clinic. What's the big clinic? Mayo Clinic, to the Mayo Clinic. And so hopefully they will try to get some answers. Meanwhile, you know, he is still in pain and anguish, and they do not know what is causing things to deteriorate. Any other prayers? Okay. Pat, would you lead us, please?
Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you that we can come and study your word and worship you, and pray, Father, that you will be with us, that we will always put you first in our lives. We pray, Father, with thanksgiving for those who have been out of town and returned safely to us. And we know that the holiday season, we have another holiday season ahead, and we pray that as people travel once again, that you will be with them and their loved ones as they travel to be here with them. We thank you, Father, for this beautiful day. We thank you for the rain that we have had in the past 2 weeks to water our earth. And we pray for more, Father, that things may be once again back to normal, and that we may enjoy that blessing from you as well as all the other wonderful blessings that you give us. Be with us this day, and we pray that we will return tonight to be able to study more of your word. Pray that you will watch over and bless and keep us. Keep us in our attitude, Father. Keep our hearts pure. May we always put you first. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sorry about my phone.
That was the bell.
Never forgot to do that. This is the first time.
I forgot the meeting one night.
I just did the home. I don't know if that turned it off.
It didn't. I've not seen any.
But you ordered it online.
Let me turn this on. What is it? Let me be sure this is on. No, it's still.